Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation, direct not from Beijing, but San Francisco, the closest thing to it. And we're going to talk about a new phrase, which is Lenin's Pope. There was a smear on a former Pope known as Hitler's Pope, which turned out to be a lie of the left. I mean, I researched it. I didn't have a bias one way or the other. But Hitler's Pope really never existed. He did everything he could to stop the slaughter of the innocents, as far as I can tell, and I did a lot of research on it. But now we have something different. We have a Marxist Pope, and I'm wondering if Pope Francis will be remembered as Lenin's Pope. Now, this is a very controversial statement, I realize. And I realize it's the last show of the year, and that we should just be doing fluff and junk and throwaway lines and wait until Monday when everyone comes back. I'm not going to wait. I don't care if my audience is one-tenth of what it normally is today, or two-tenths, or five-tenths. It's a show. It's a program. You're going to invest time in listening to it. So I've invested time in studying what I'm going to talk about. And of course, we're then going to go to Unprotected Talk, which is a new logo of the Savage Nation. I created this last Friday. It's caught on like a whirlwind, and it's starting from the top down, meaning the top people in the media have been emailing me and tweeting me saying, I can't believe what you've created. Everyone is talking about Unprotected Talk. You've reinvented radio. And so that's what it means. It means you'll get on the show. I don't know what your name is, what city you're from, or what you're going to talk about. Any topic truly is what it is. But instead of calling it open mic, which is really pre-screened, we're doing Unprotected Talk. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to give you my views of the world or of the news. Now, so here's the news today. The Washington Times has a very controversial article today by Ben Wolfgang entitled Obama Finds an Ally on Political Controversies at the Vatican. Now, this is something I've touched on over the last year or so when I noticed that this Pope is not so much a religious figure as he is a left-wing political figure. I knew something was wrong in that he was picked for the first time in 1,400 years. A non-European Pope was selected out of communist or socialist South America. That unto itself was worrisome. So you could say the Bilderbergs picked the Pope. You could say whoever you want picked the Pope. But when you see Obama was hand-selected, and you could see the Pope was picked, the President of France was picked, the communist mayor of New York was picked. I mean, how could a guy who backed the Sandinistas become the mayor of New York? And look what it's done. Killed the police as a result of his loose lips. You know, loose lips sinks ships. Well, the mayor of New York, Di Blasio, should have realized that when you stir up the masses against the police, someone's going to die. And the cops are absolutely right, not only for turning their back on him, but for never, ever having anything to do with that guy, because he has nothing but bad intentions towards the police. But I want to talk about Lenin's Pope today. And the article itself is the news. So we start with the news, and we see this one. Remember the other day the Pope congratulated Obama on his reaching out to communist Cuba? Well, 2 weeks after Obama announced sweeping changes to U.S. policy on Cuba, the communist regime yesterday banned a free speech protest in Havana and detained several pro-democracy activists, preventing others from leaving their homes. So in other words, Obama has reached out to a prison island, and instead of the prison island becoming more liberated or more liberal, the prison island became more draconian as a result of the Pope and as a result of Obama's idea of reaching out to communist nations. And so then the other day, this strange thing occurs. The Pope, who has no background in science, no knowledge of climate other than when it rains, his minions hold an umbrella for him, comes out and he says the greatest threat to world stability and world peace is climate change. Instead of talking about the Islamo-fascists who are burning churches and killing Christians and killing Yazidis and imprisoning women and poisoning the world with their hatred the Pope attacks the environmental activists who understand that the environment is quite active. I'm an environmental activist. What do I mean I'm an environmental activist? Long before this breed of liars who have used false science to push communism, socialism, income redistribution, I was saving large portions of rainforests in the South Pacific. So I have my bona fides. I don't need anyone to tell me what they're doing. I know what I was doing. But the fact of the matter is the Pope is doing a great deal of damage because he wants to support Obama on climate change initiatives, and he wants to be a leading voice at a UN global warming summit next year. How in the world can you not see what this is? This is income redistribution. So for Obama and the left-wing maniacs in the Democrat Party to line up with Francis, remember how they've hated the church. Remember how the Democrat Party has long hated the church and long attacked the church. Now, all of a sudden, they're bosom buddies. But why are the Democrats suddenly in love with Pope Francis? Because he is one of them. The Pope is a politician. And the Pope has, in many ways, I think, established his permanent reputation as Lenin's Pope. And I want to talk about that. What does he mean by climate change? Why is that the Pope's problem? When the science on climate change is at least very controversial, certainly not established science, we know that. And so the Pope to stick his nose into a thing like this is very, very worrisome. Why is he doing this? Because he wants income redistribution. The Pope has also become one of the Democrats' biggest allies on income inequality, which President Obama, the phony, has cast as perhaps the biggest challenge facing the U.S. economy today. Isn't it odd, President Obama worrying about income inequality when he has Air Force 1, 2, and 3 at his disposal, when he goes on these junkets around the world, when the First Lady abuses her office day and night with 75 assistants and vacation after vacation after vacation after vacation, and he's telling us about income inequality. There's nothing new under the sun. This is how socialism has always worked. There's a ruling class, and then there's an increasingly shrinking middle class, and then there's a large lower class. And we're going to talk about what trickle-down poverty really is all about. Pope Francis has engaged trickle-down poverty as his logo. That's one of my best-selling books from a few years ago. In that, he is embracing the policies of the Democrat Party, which is distribution of wealth to so-called struggling Americans. Trickle-down poverty is not my idea of freedom. My idea of freedom is to grow up, to be born poor, and struggle all your life to become wealthy. That's my idea of freedom, based upon luck, based upon work, mainly the work ethic, and things like that, commitment to getting ahead in the country, getting ahead in the world. Not Karl Marx's, from each according to his abilities to each according to his needs. What was that? What does that mean? Is I have to pay for some bum sitting on a porch, smoking a joint, and drinking a beer who then goes to Obamacare, has an Obama phone, Obama shoes, Obama shirts, Obama pants, and I have to pay for that bum? And I don't want to do it anymore. I didn't work all of my life to let 50% of the able-bodied Americans sit on their behinds doing nothing. And so, therefore, I resent the Pope using the climate scam as an opportunity to steal more of my money and your money, because that's what it means. What it means is you're going to demand, what, a world tax for climate change control? And who's going to get that money? Which senator's husbands in the construction business are going to skim off the billions of dollars? Tell me which senator's husbands are in the construction business. We're very much like China right now. You may not know this, because China is not really a socialist or communist nation. It is about the most capitalist society on earth. I want you to think of China as capitalism in this country without the political need to appeal to the majority of middle and lower class for elections. There are no elections. So what does that mean? In China, the rich get richer by working together. Everything is done through bribery. You want to start a business in China? Make sure you bribe some government officials on your side. Does that sound like America? No. No, you can start a business, but you have to pay for permits. That's sort of bribery. You want to build a house? You have to pay tens of thousands of dollars for permits. That's a sort of bribery, isn't it? That's why I call the society we're living in a sort of quasi-socialist society. You want to get your kids into college? Well, you better bribe some professors and such. That's not done in America? Oh, no? Are you sure of that? You mean by building a building or making a grant to a department? You're not bribing a college? You want a new business deal in America? Well, in China, it'll go smoother if you give your clients, executives, $5,000 gift cards. So that's not so critical of China, because China's booming and we're dying. Not exactly dying, but let's say we're contracting, and we're still contracting. Never mind what the Gallup poll says. China is not a communist state. Very close to what we have here, except here we have the fraud of elections. I actually don't think the presidential election is going to matter much. We went to the polls 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. We threw out all the leftist policies of this imposter in the White House. We said niet to the Communist Democrat Socialist Party of America. And what happened? The next day, this arrogant president of ours got up and laughed at us and said, your vote doesn't count because only a small number of people voted, meaning the white people and the working people. And he said, wait till 2016 when I flood America with 20 million illegal aliens, okay, and I get all the radicals in the streets through the Occupy movement, through false racism charges. I'll get them all registered up, and then you'll see who really runs this country. That's what he's saying. So it's a very strange and dangerous time, and now we see along comes the Pope. Lenin's Pope appears, and suddenly, out of nowhere, he tells us it's a great thing to do business with the Castros. And the next week, all of a sudden, the Pope, who knows nothing about science, zero, other than when it rains, they hold an umbrella for him, all of a sudden, he's an expert on climate change. Well, I can cite about 30 experts who are real climatologists who say that man has very little to do with affecting the climate, which is not to argue for pollution. I'm against pollution. I'm a fanatic about clean air. I always have been. And I've worked to save rainforests. I've worked to be a good citizen, as good as I can. But the data doesn't support the idea that man is causing climate change. Not at all. And I can give you a few facts, which you may have learned in the fifth grade, unless you went to the same school as Wolf Blitzer and Sean Penn, the High School of Performing Artists. In the fifth grade, you learned about the ice ages that preceded us, right? Let's use common sense. Even if you went to elementary school, you could follow this, even if you're a socialist. How do you explain the fact that there were six ice ages which disappeared prior to the Middle Ages? Where'd they come from? Well, we don't know. Man didn't cause the ice age. No, but did man cause the melting of the ice ages, meaning the melting of the ice caps? That not the cap itself, but as we well know, in the Middle Ages, ice started to proceed down into Europe. In fact, it was moving at an alarming rate in the 1500s, I believe. It was moving at such an alarming rate that priests would stand before moving icebergs in Sweden and make prayers to Jesus and God to stop the iceberg from moving south. Well, of course, the prayers didn't stop it. The ice moved south for a certain period of time, and then the Earth did its thing. It corrected itself, and a warming phase kicked in, and global warming occurred. Now, remind you, this was 200 years before the Industrial Revolution. How did we have global warming before the Industrial Revolution? The answer is there was a natural cycle of cooling and warming, many cycles of cooling and warming. In fact, if you study the cores of the Earth, that is, I'm sorry, ice cores, this is one of the most important pieces of evidence I've ever seen. I think scientists about 6 years ago drilled for ice cores in the North Pole or the Antarctic. I can't remember. You can probably find it. And they pulled up ice cores that was something like from the Pleistocene millions of years ago. And guess what the ice cores showed? They showed global warming, global cooling, global warming, global cooling. So that should settle it for you that man, of course, wants a cleaner earth. Man wants less pollution. We all want that. But we don't want to be ripped off by the president, by the Democrat Party, and by the UN, and by the Pope, being told that we need to give them a global warming tax in order to make sure money is skimmed off by all those on the top. Because not a dime of it's going to go to people living on low islands. It's going to be stolen by senators' husbands who own construction companies. It's going to be stolen by donors to the Democrat and Republican parties. Because as sure as I'm standing here, the Republican Party is almost infinitesimally no different than the Democrat Party. It's all tied into skimming as much as they can from people and robbing the public. So that's my opening on Lenin's Pope. I thought that you'd enjoy my giving you a little monologue today. We now go to unprotected talk. There are no open lines, but the phone number, in case you want to record it for another year, is 855-400-7282. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. This is the news I used to listen to when I was a kid, the early show they played this. And I loved the news even as a kid. I didn't know how much of it was true or false. I had no idea that there were lies in the news. I thought it was all true. How does a kid know? I mean, I had Walter Cronkite, who turned out to be a fiction maker. He was a fiction maker, a nice fiction maker, Uncle Walter, as are people in the media today. Unfortunately for us, the fiction makers are all leftists. They all put out the big lie on a daily basis for whatever the reasons are, to control the population. In this case, I'm giving you truth to power at some risk to myself. The Pope is now no longer a Pope. He's a politician. He has prostituted himself by lining up with the global warmest movement. And it's a very worrisome thing to see that the Pope is doing a thing like this. First, he tells Obama, you're a good boy for reaching out to Cuba. Now he says he wants to address the UN on global warming. This is such a scam. It's so naked. It's unbelievable and clear. Here's an article for you warmists out there. 420,000 years of data suggests global warming is not entirely man-made, if at all. And I'm going to talk about the ice cores that I mentioned earlier. The Vostok ice core sample. Many of you idiots never heard of the Vostok ice core sample. But you did hear of Al Gore's big lie sample. You've heard of Barack Obama's big lie sample. Well, look up the Vostok ice core sample.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
And we're talking about Lenin's Pope today, lining up with Obama and the warmists to rip off the population of producers on the planet and make us believe that we need to pay a global tax for global warming. I never heard of a Pope wanting to give a speech on global warming. What does he know about it? When did he become a scientist? Now, you can be a Catholic and not like the Pope, by the way. He's just a man. Many Catholics love the church as they should and love the rituals of Catholicism as they should and love their Lord as they should, but they don't have to love men who become popes. They're politicians. Many educated Catholics know this, but who is he appealing to? The Pope's not appealing to educated Catholics. Listen to me. Both the Pope and Obama make their reputations by taking other people's money in the name of helping people with less money, which is a primary pitch of the Communist Party. This is how the world loses its freedom. The Catholic Church has had other popes that were along these lines. It's a human institution, that's all it is. And many Catholics agree with me, many don't. Catholic Church is a wonderful institution, the modern Catholic Church in particular. And was it not nourished by the Holy Spirit itself, the Catholic Church would have died out 1,800 years ago. If it were only a human institution run by men like Pope Francis, it would not have lasted. If you look back in the history of the Catholic Church, as educated Catholics will agree with me, they've had their share, maybe more of their share, of morons, scoundrels, and even worse. You know. And yet, if you look at the early church fathers and look at early church teaching in matters of faith, you'll see that the church does lead people to follow God, not men. So be very careful in saying that you have to believe in the Pope. Church has shown over and over again that it's not above prostrating itself before the false gods of power and money. Look at the annulments bought and paid for by the Kennedy family and their various offspring. Ted Kennedy was firmly pro-abortion. Yeah, but cardinals and kings of the Catholic Church fawned over him. They did the bidding of the entire Kennedy clan. I really wish that Pope Francis would spend more time condemning the beheadings of innocents whether they be Catholics or Yazidis, by Muslim terrorists, than spending his time on something of which he knows nothing, climate change. This is only going to drive more intelligent people away from the church. It's totally hypocritic. But again, let's look at the evidence. I've told you about the ice ages. How did they disappear if there was no, industrialization? What caused the ice ages to disappear? It's a fifth grade question. You have six ice ages that came and went long before industrialization on the earth, long before CO2 levels went up. And by the way, CO2 has nothing to do with global warming. It's actually good for the planet, as I told you. That's a fourth grade question. I try to tell you that plants grow from carbon dioxide. So the more carbon dioxide, the more plant life. It's better for crops. Without global warming, we'd all starve to death. Idiots! They don't even know basic science. I've never seen anything like this. What passes for knowledge in the country today because of this con man in the White House. Whatever the hell he says, they agree with. If he got up there and passed gas, they would say it was the Holy Grail. A fifth grader with an average IQ understands this. He understands the basics of science. He understands that man needs oxygen and exhales carbon dioxide, as do all other mammals. And where does the carbon dioxide go? It goes into the ocean, and plants take it up in order to grow. That's the basis of photosynthesis. Remember that? Fourth grade learning? All of you scoundrels who claim to think you know everything about warming? And the more carbon dioxide, the more the plant grows. So now we see that rainforests are growing. Oh, and they were shocked to find that out. Any fifth grader would have known that, as I've been telling you for years on the Savage Nation. Basic elementary school science would tell you that it's all baloney. So now there's this great article, 420,000 years of data suggests global warming is not entirely man-made, if at all. And they refer to the Vostok station in the Antarctic. And what they did was, is they drilled down into the ice core. Deep down into the ice core. The research was done by a group of Russian and French scientists. I guess they all work for oil companies. But the research is very important. It's not false data. It's not created by Al Gore. It's not created for the Pope. It's real data. It was obtained by drilling down into the ice above Lake Vostok to a depth of 10,000 feet. Now, many of you know what 10,000 feet is. That's almost 2 miles. And if you look at this, you will see that global temperatures varied. But most importantly, it shows that carbon dioxide increases in the atmosphere lag behind temperature increases by about 800 years. 800 years, which means that carbon dioxide is not the cause of the increased temperatures, although it might play a very small role. It also shows this deep drilling into the ice core in the Antarctic, 10,000 feet down, that the cyclical pattern which occurs with warming and cooling is a cyclical pattern. In other words, it's not man-made. And it shows there are cycles that last about 110,000 years. And there were several cycles over the last 420,000 years in which there was a change. So what causes this? Well, cold water retains more carbon dioxide than warm water. I don't want to go into every detail. But all you've got to know is that this process of cooling and warming has been happening for the past 420,000 years, according to the data at this one site in Vostok. Very important for you to know. Very, very important for you to know about this. You also should know that CO2 has nothing to do with global warming. If you look at the data, you'll see that 325,000 years ago, long before Al Gore's grandfather was a glint in his great-grandfather's eye, roughly 325,000 years ago, based on the Vostok data, not on the Pope's data, the Earth was at the peak of a warm interglacial period. 325,000 years ago, global temperatures and CO2 levels were higher than they are today. Did you know that? You didn't know any of this. I guess Barack Obama didn't get any of this when he was at Columbia, learning how to become a rabble-rouser. 325 years ago, global temps and CO2 levels were higher than they are today. Well, right now we're at the peak and kind of the end of another warm interglacial. And we all know, those of us who are educated and have studied science, we're actually heading into another ice age period of cooling, where global temperatures will drop and ice will again form heavily at the poles, which is happening right now. The Antarctic had the greatest growth of ice in a very long period of time. You can research this on your own. How could Al Gore win the Nobel Peace Prize for his lies? How can the IPCC continue to push global warming when the data denies everything he says? How could the Pope come out and say he wants to give a speech on global warming at the UN? It's all about politics. It's all about politics. And what they want to do is rip you off, as Obama rips you off to pay for the slackers in our society and the grifters in our society and the husbands of senators in our society who do military contracting, who build things for the military and for the EPA, who have large construction companies worldwide that do billions of dollars in construction projects all because of their wives in Congress and in the Senate. Look into it. See if I'm making it up. We're no different than China. It may be more corrupt than China. We may have a more corrupt system than China does. Oh, we have elections. I know. We had an election and who won? We went to vote for John Boehner. We went to vote for Mitch McConnell, the gobbler, the turkey gobbler. No, they're two of the worst scoundrels in the history of the Republican Party, in a long line of scoundrels. They're about the worst. They're about the worst of all of them. So we have a corrupt political system. We have an oligarchy, which I've told you for a long period of time. And now I try to set the record straight by talking about the outrage of the Pope lining up with Obama on this global warming scam. The science does not support the big lie. It's all about stealing money from productive citizens to distribute it. Redistribute it, not to the poor, but to the rich. It's that simple. And on that note, I'll take calls on any topic. I've spent 40 minutes now on this one topic to show you that 1231 2014 shall not be in vain. It's not a throwaway day. It's a day of intelligence. Why should I waste December 31st, 2014 like a moron standing in the cold waiting on Times Square like Anderson Cooper, that thin-brained man? What a pathetic human being standing there with a girl waiting for the ball to fall. That's his idea of news? Where's Jake Tapper with a scarf to show how withered he is? Anyway, we're going to talk about anything you want on Unprotected Talk. And we'll begin with line number three. Go ahead, please. Tell us your name and your city and your subject.
Josh, Colorado Springs, KBR. Dr. Savage, it's good to talk to you.
See how good my call is? I'll look at this. Right away, bingo, they answer the... Right away, name, city, and topic. Perfect. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about role models. I'm 26 years old, and there's a lot of junk out there. I was led astray for a long time. I actually voted for Obama in 08. Total mistake, but the point is I'm trying to get is that people like Nikola Tesla, Thomas Edison, you, Michael Savage, there are so many great people that create in this world that we forget about, and we need to become more like them. Leonardo da Vinci, Bach, Beethoven.
Well, I wouldn't compare myself to them. I have a certain degree of greatness in myself. I know that. I wouldn't put it on that level. I mean, any man must know who he is, whether it's up or down on the scale of creativity. I wish to God I could say I was on that level. But when I listen to Beethoven, I actually find tears running down my face. Not because I love the music as much as I do, but because I'm awed that a human being could have created it and I can't. Do you know that? I feel like an animal looking at a human being when I listen to Beethoven. I start to cry. My body starts to shudder. I listen to Bach. I start to shudder, not believing a human being could do that on a planet where the opposite end of the scale, you have people uttering 50 words of English and that we're told that we're all equal. I mean, I shudder at the thought of it about the big lie.
Well,
I thank you for calling. Line five, next topic. Name, city, and topic, please.
Arthur, Chicago. I'm listening online. Michael, I've only been listening to your show for a few months now, and I've never actually been able to catch the full program. I have three small children, so as you can imagine, my home life tends to be pretty busy. And, you know, I work full-time, so it's obviously a challenge being able to listen to you during the day. My question that I have for you is actually in regard to vaccinations. How do you feel about...
Oh, it's a very good topic for me. So I guess you're asking me, is there any danger in vaccinating your children?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice to talk to a scientist once in a while about it. And quite
well,
frankly,
let me say this. I'm not an expert on vaccinations, but I can read the literature, and I would not recommend the number of vaccinations children are given today. They are given more vaccinations than a cow on a livestock yard. And you have to understand, each vaccination has with it an inherent attack upon the child's young immune system. In other words, in order for the body to react properly to a vaccination, it must marshal a reaction to the organisms being introduced into the body, so it creates a stress upon that body. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and that actually brings a follow-up question. Why is it that our government is pushing vaccinations so heavily on our children?
Well, let's start with something the average listener can relate to, the flu vaccine. They tell everyone to get one. One of the greatest lies I've ever heard is that everyone should be vaccinated for the flu. That's such a push to make money off the vaccinations. Remember that there's a huge profit incentive in vaccinating every member of a society. But the most important thing to remember about flu vaccines, I've never taken one and I never will. The most important thing to remember about flu vaccines, speaking about them, is that they have to guess which strain of flu is going to hit in any year. Right now they've guessed wrong, and the flu vaccine contains the wrong strain of flu. They guessed wrong. They have to guess in order to make it, and the wrong strain has emerged in America. So I think it's extremely dangerous, especially for older people to take it. But getting back to your main question about infants and children, there are certain vaccinations that I think are critical for them to have, especially since our country is being overrun by diseased third world immigrants. Let me repeat that in case everyone missed it. Because Obama has flooded America with diseased children from Central America and their parents, all of whom have not been vaccinated, there's an upsurge of diseases that the country had wiped out in the past. And so vaccinations may, in fact, be required to protect our children from the diseases that immigrants are bringing into the country. That having been said, I think you have to choose very carefully which vaccinations you will accept and which you will not. All of them are not required. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. A young man called about vaccinations for children. Let me give you some facts. I could write a whole book on this subject, which I should do one day. The United States has one of the highest infant mortality rates in the developed world. And yet American infants are given the greatest number of vaccines, 26 doses of vaccines by the end of the first year. Is this a coincidence? I mean, if the vaccines were so good at their job at safeguarding a child's health, we should have very low infant mortality. But we don't, because of acute adverse reactions. There's an awful lot more that needs to be said. But you have to understand, you're going to have to do this research on your own, because immunity is a complicated process. I wrote a book called Maximum Immunity in 1983, published by Houghton Mifflin, which was about the rudiments of the immune system. It's still a pretty good book. It's a good starting point, and from that point onward, you know, you can read it online. I'm not looking to sell. I don't even have copies. I'm not selling you anything. But remember this. We have outbreaks now of whooping cough and mumps that are occurring in America, predominantly among the vaccinated. And measles outbreaks occurring primarily amongst people who have been vaccinated. So that tends to dismiss claims that vaccinated people cannot get sick from or transmit infectious diseases. And it's a complete fraud. A lot of vaccinated people still get sick. So vaccination is not necessarily a good health guarantee. The best thing to do is keep your immune system very healthy through good nutrition, exercise, reduction of stress. Limit yourself and your children to environmental toxins such as these perfumes that you spray around your house are toxic. Did you know that? These air fresheners, they're toxic. Did you know that? Insecticides, you may not understand it, are all around these children crawling on rugs. Carpets are very dangerous. And also vitamins. Very important that your children be given the right doses of vitamins. There's so much I want to say.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture, And here he is, Michael Savage.
From each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. Is that Karl Marx, Pope Francis, or Barack Obama? Capitalism is reckless. Is that Karl Marx, Pope Francis, or Obama? Is that Fidel Castro? Who said this? Mankind is divided into rich and poor, into property owners and exploited. And to abstract oneself from this fundamental division and from the antagonism between poor and rich means abstracting oneself from fundamental facts. Who is that? Barack Obama, Eric Holder, or Joseph Stalin? Who said this? Hillary Clinton or Mao Zedong? Enable every woman who can work to take her place on the labor front under the principle of equal pay for equal work. Who said this? Barack Obama, Pope Francis, or Vladimir Lenin? The way to crush the bourgeoisie is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. Who said this? Vladimir Lenin, Barack Obama, or Pope Francis? We want to achieve a new and better order of society. In this new and better society, there must be neither rich nor poor. All will have to work. Not a handful of rich people, but all the working people must enjoy the fruits of their common labor. Interesting. Who said these things? Well, we know the Pope's interested in fixing income inequality. And I said, well, why doesn't he start by auctioning off some of the art in the Vatican? I offered $1 million for one of their masters in the Vatican. I put the first million down for a Da Vinci. In fact, I would even offer $2 million for the Sistine Chapel. I'd have it removed to my house here in wherever. You can then take the money and give it away to the poor, wherever they may be. In Zimbabwe, for example. Zimbabwe was once a thriving nation, used to be known as Rhodesia. South Africa is right below it. When Rhodesia was ruled by the evil whites, it was a country that could not only feed itself, it exported crops to the world. And then, of course, along came income inequality talk. The whites were kicked off the land, distributed to the native folks, and they turned it into a dust bowl. They can't even produce enough food to feed themselves. So you got to be very careful what you want in this world. You may wind up starving to death. Stalin stole the land from the peasants in Russia in the 1930s. He called them kulaks. They had farms like we have farmers here, and they were producing wheat in Russia. Great wheat, mainly in the Ukraine, by the way. Strange, isn't it, that they're fighting over the Ukraine right now, the breadbasket of Europe. But Stalin said, oh, the government can produce agricultural products better than the kulaks, the evil bourgeoisie who are making money on their crops. So he appropriated the land from the farmers, and he put the same people who we have now in the EPA, the Energy Department, that type, in charge of growing crops and distributing them. And there were 30 million people died of starvation in the Soviet Union in the 1930s. So be very careful when you want government bureaucrats to run things. And so I was talking about communism and how it seems to be emerging on the planet. It's not really the communism of the Mao Zedong type communism. It throws you off if you say communism because people say bullcrap. We're not having a Maoist revolution in America. No, we're not. You haven't been pulled out of your house and put into a work camp or a re-education camp. Boys with red scarves and girls with red scarves, 12 to 14-year-olds, illiterate peasants haven't done that to you, comma, yet, period. Nor do I think it will ever happen in this country. But we are certainly on the spectrum of such behavior. You know, there's a thing called Asperger's syndrome, which is on the spectrum of autism. And there's all sorts of types of this illness. And just there are so many types of communism, ranging from the very mild income redistribution, which we've had in America ever since taxation was introduced, and the so-called progressive taxes. That was a form of socialism. You mean the more I make, the more I have to give you? How does that work? You mean the harder I work and the more I earn, I have to give a bum sitting on his behind in Baltimore? You're joking. You mean the more I work, the more I have to give to that stoner on a skateboard in San Francisco who does nothing, a slacker bum who's stoned all day long with his friends skating back and forth by the ferry terminal? Every time I go for a ferry, I have to dodge these vandals. They don't work. I have to pay for their skateboard, I have to pay for their care, I have to pay for their clothing, I have to pay for their dope. That's a form of slavery, socialism. I have to pay for those bums. But we do it because it's not that bad yet. Only 65% of my income goes to redistribution. 47% federal, 13% in the state of California, it makes 60. Then assorted local taxes. So I'm still good. I'm doing $3.50 out of $10 goes to me. I earn 10, I get 3.5 to 4. Or I earn $100, I keep 35 to 40. That's very good of Jerry Brown. Very good of Barack Obama. He lets me keep 4 of $10 that I earn. I think that's very, very nice of them in order to make sure that the illegal aliens are well-fed and well-clothed and well-housed and well-medicated. I really do. So that's one topic that we were talking about. Then I had to call a call about vaccinations, and I warned you against massive vaccinations of children. You can research that on your own. Make your own decision. My two children, we were very careful when they were young in not giving them all the vaccinations that were recommended by the pediatricians. And in fact, I don't want to divulge anything, but one of the vaccinations almost killed me as a child when I was very young. And one of the vaccinations did a lot of damage to someone in my family. Be very, very cautious. So how did previous generations defend themselves against various illnesses? Well, for one, the mothers were not vaccinated. See, here's the terrible tragedy. If your mother was born after 1963, she cannot pass on any immunity, much immunity to you, rather, if she's nursing you. That's a sad truth. You don't know that. If your mom was born after 63, she's been vaccinated like a Purdue chicken. And she's lost a lot of her natural immunity, which no longer appears in the colostrum of mother's milk. That's been stolen from the human race by the drug manufacturers. Not necessarily evil in intent, but profit motive nevertheless. The profit motive nevertheless can be evil unto itself if it dismisses all rationality. So be very careful with your vaccinations and do as much research as you can. It's not that hard to do. You can just Google in any search you want on these subjects. Dangers of vaccinations, pros and cons of vaccinations, and read it and decide for yourself and then make that choice. But I don't want to get stuck on either of these two topics, okay? Not at all. And we're doing unprotected talk on the Savage Nation now. It's my new logo. It was trademarked by my attorney this week because I coined it last Friday. It's so good that I'm sure that someone would like to steal it and rebrand their entire network around unprotected talk, but they can't have it. I will sue them for everything they're worth. So if you want to buy me a yacht, go ahead and make my day. Steal the slogan. Go ahead. You'll be hearing from three different lawyers within 30 minutes. And it means something. What does unprotected talk mean to you? It's a very interesting phrase that I created. We've all heard of open mic. We've all heard of, you know, no screening. But you never heard the phrase unprotected talk. That's why I was able to trademark it. It was never used before. It's an interesting play of words. What do you mean protected from who? Who are we being protected from? What do you mean unprotected? I thought the First Amendment protects us. Well, what does that mean, unprotected talk? Interesting. Well, what it means on the show in a limited sense is that your calls are not screened by a screener who, you know, weeds people out. So let's go to the callers right now. Line 5, tell us your name, your city, and your topic, please.
My name is Stuart. I'm from Kansas City, calling from Kansas City. My topic is Cuba. Dr. Savage, I have not heard this aspect discussed concerning Cuba as far as Obama normalizing relations with Cuba and how it's tied into Guantanamo Bay. I believe that once all of the prisoners are released from Guantanamo Bay, that at some point near the end of his presidency, he will not only close the prison camp, he'll close the naval base, and he will give that land back that's located on the southeastern tip of Cuba back to the Cubans as a good faith gesture of this new normalization of relationship.
Yeah, but what are we going to get? What he's the worst negotiator in the history of this country. What do we get? What do we get in return from the Castros?
Nothing, but because Obama always comes from a position of weakness.
What did we get from China when this clown in the White House, this goofy big-eared clown, goes to China, signs a global warming accord with China, and they say, oh, very good, we do nothing, you do everything, have a nice trip. What is this man, the worst CEO in the history of this country? How does he get away with it? If he was running a corporation, he would have been thrown out a long time ago.
Absolutely, and And I believe that he's doing this so that after he's finished with his term, no future president will ever be able to reopen that naval base, or they'll ever be able to reopen that prison again to hold terrorists.
Well, there are no terrorists, according to Barack Obama.
That's right.
There are only people who are misunderstood who haven't had economic opportunity, which is why they rape, murder, kill, and enslave. It's because of economic disopportunity. All right, my friend, that's a good topic. I can't add anything to it. I did touch on the Guantanamo thing 2 weeks ago when I said, how many of you realize it's on the island of Cuba? Line number two, welcome to the blank. That's shooting a blank. See, this happens with unprotected talk. Line seven, name, city, and topic. Go ahead, please.
It's Park, Maryland. Name's William. Are you familiar with Malachi Martin, the priest that used to be at the Vatican? He's a late person who was talking about a socialist or communist pope eventually. And on a different note, are you a fan of Rod Serling? And yes, carbon dioxide makes leaves green.
Yes. So, yeah, we agree on the basics, for sure. Does Al Gore know that carbon dioxide makes leaves green because it's required for photosynthesis?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure he probably does, but he doesn't care to acknowledge that because he's so smart about everything else.
Let me ask you something. How do you feel about a pope who has no knowledge of science coming out saying that there's definitely man-made global warming and that he wants to give a lead speech on it at the UN? What does that signal to you?
I think what it signals to me, and I'm just kind of an everyday person, is that he doesn't have anything to do with Christianity or the Vatican. It's more about, you know, politics. Like you were saying, Malachi Martin was saying about there's a certain time, and now there's going to be a pope that's going to come along, and he ain't going to have nothing to do with what they're coming from about the Vatican, and
Well, I think that's what we have now. That's why they handpicked him. The Bilderbergs must have had a hand in it. How could they pick the first non-European pope in 1,200 years, and he himself is of European descent? Think about that. He was not picked for his ethnic background. He was picked for his background in socialism. He came from a socialist nation. He grew up during a period of great upheavals with regard to society when he grew up as a young man, Pope Francis did. And so he brings all of this liberation theology that we saw with Barack Obama's King Lear. I forget his name. I don't know, but whatever his name was, the guy in the church he went to who preached Hate America. It's no different. It's just a little smoother.
Yeah, my mother's name is Frances in the feminine, and she was so neat that the Pope, she grew up Catholic, but she's basically a Christian in general now as opposed to a particular denomination.
Well, the fact is that Catholics have a beautiful church and a beautiful religion, and I don't mean to start enmity towards Catholicism. I want to be very clear about that. But the fact of the matter is, when you see a leader of the church succumbing to the worldly ways of the big lie, you have to ask yourself what exactly is going on in the world system right now. Why would he want to keep the Castros in power? Why does he not speak out against ISIS? Why does the Pope not speak out against the horrors being inflicted upon the Christians in the Middle East, instead talking about keeping the Castros in power? Ask yourself, how in the world can the Pope talk about climate change? Climate has been changing for millions of years. As I showed you, just research the Vostok ice core sample before you open your pie trap and start talking about global warming. And I don't care if you have 17 PhDs. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation on the last day of the year, 31st of December 2014. What a year it's been. I mean, I started a new show last year on January 2nd, 2014. I moved to the best real estate on the Monopoly Board of Radio. You know that. You know the whole story. And everyone said, can he make it? Well, I've done very good, thanks to my audience. Prime time, drive time on the East Coast, biggest stations, best real estate. And I'm just changing one aspect of the show. People are saying, oh, why is he changing it from what he's done to Unprotected Talk? Because I don't want to get stuck on any one topic for a whole day anymore. I don't want to get stuck. That's the problem. If I throw out one topic, you know, you listen for 10, 15 minutes, and that's the end of it, and I get bored. That's the auto show. I can put it on autopilot by that, doing that anytime I want. I could do one topic for 2 to 3 hours if I want, and then just go to sleep. But I want to keep myself interested, and I want you to be interested. It's that simple. So I think Unprotected Talk is the way to go, at least an hour a day, maybe more. Right now we're in the second hour, and I've only taken one or two calls. Think about that. My energy is greater. My mood is better. I'm not trapped by your ideas. Let's look at the Drudge Report for the headlines. There's a picture that you have to see. I cannot believe this picture. How did he pack on that weight? Kissinger looks like a balloon. Like someone pumped him up. Do you see this picture? Obama secretly reaching out to Putin using Kissinger. I mean, I don't care about the guy's weight, but the guy looks like he's going to explode any minute. Here is a man who stabbed all the troops in the back in Vietnam by secretly signing a peace treaty while our boys were being shot and killed and tortured in Vietnam. I don't trust this slime ball. I'm not a fan of Hank Kissinger. I never liked the man. And now I see him lined up with the imposter in the White House, and I say, tell me what's new under the sun. Is there really going to be an election in 2016, or has Hillary already been pre-selected by the Bilderbergs? Ask yourself the question. We just had an election. What good did it do when we have Obama getting away with virtually anything he wants, and with Boehner going along with it and McConnell, and they're purging all the conservatives out of the Republican Party? Thanks, Hank.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Because it's already New Year's somewhere. Turn it off already. I got a migraine just listening to it. And they've already had the New Year's in Australia. They did what they normally do, which is they puke on car fenders. That's the national pastime in Australia, you know, to show their manhood. It's done in different ways around the world. Guns go off in Chicago. And in Dubai, they light things up. Sydney had their glittery midnight. And in South Africa, they have a very unique way of celebrating the New Year. In South Africa's largest city, Johannesburg, just shows you cultural differences. There's an increase in petty crime and vandalism. And in the city's Hillbrow district, which is in one of the ghettos, there is a dangerous tradition of throwing refrigerators out of high-rise apartment windows. That's the way they celebrate in that district of Johannesburg. They throw unused items like furniture, stoves, and refrigerators down on passerbys out of high-rise apartments. You know, different strokes for different folks. It's a matter of culture. Don't try to impose your uptight values on them. They want to have a good time, so throw a refrigerator out of a window from a high-rise. Don't look down upon it from your point of view. You know, we've heard of income redistribution. How about values redistribution? Maybe your values are too high. Like not throwing a refrigerator out of a high-rise window. That could be a value that's too high. And I think you need to redistribute your values and consider how it's done in South Africa in order to be equal, in order to get with the new world order and do things the way it's done around the world. Don't be so uptight and do it so, you know, Mary Two-Shoes there. Big Ben bongs in the new year. River Thames for a fireworks display in the once England. But, of course, you know there is no England anymore. It's now Londonistan, where the most popular name in England is Mohammed amongst newborns. Think about why all the men died in the previous centuries, so that they could be overrun by illegal aliens from the Third World who have taken over their country, more or less. No, not exactly. There are still some people you might recognize as English. Anyway, here we are, Unprotected Talk, talking about income inequality from the point of view of communism, global warming from the point of view of communism, and that the president has found an ally in income redistribution lies and the global warming lie in the Pope, which is just astonishing. And for the Vatican to tell him to reach out to Cuba that it's a good thing, unbelievable. And you know what we got out of that? The next day they cracked down on the dissident movement in Cuba. Within a day, Within a day, freedom was crushed. Whatever little freedom there was, crushed the next day. All right, line 8, you're on the Savage Nation. Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Harvey on WABC New York.
Oh, I'm sorry, your name is Harvey?
No, Larry on WABC New York.
All right, Larry, great. From New York City, Happy New Year. What's on your mind?
You too, Michael. First, I want to compliment you on your new format and the topic of today's show. So much truth that you have put out there. I have two topics I want to touch. Well, one topic I want to touch on, 2 points. The Pope is, I believe, the great deceiver of the many, along with our so-called president in the White House. They are both prophecies in the book of Revelation in the Bible, Michael.
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on. I'm not going to cut you off. Are you a Catholic yourself?
I was Catholic years ago until I learned
the truth. I want to be very clear. I am not casting any aspersions on the Catholic Church or its doctrines. I am talking about a pope who has become a politician.
He is the great deceiver of the minions and runs the great whore of Revelation, the scarlet whore of Revelation. And the deceiver of many in our country is the fraud in the White House. If indeed, I mean, he's deceived so many people and so many people believe all of this stuff that comes out. The United Nations is behind the global warming hoax because it is leading us towards the one world government also predicted in the book of Revelations. It's the greatest.
In the United Nations that does nothing about the enslavement of women and children in the Middle East, the same United Nations is now going to save us from global warming. Yeah, I get it.
There's no such thing as human-caused global warming, but the United Nations is extorting every human being on Earth.
I understand who they are. I'm on record saying the UN should be kicked out of New York and the building should be converted into a homeless shelter.
It is the seat of the one world government that we are about. We are actually living in the time predicted in the book of Revelation.
Let me read what the Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, has to say about the poor. You ready for this one? For the poor shall never cease out of the land. The poor shall never cease out of the land. Has that ever changed in the thousands of years of civilization?
No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't. That doesn't mean we shouldn't help our poorer brethren. But it does mean that there will always be poor and that there will always be shysters who are trying to rob from those who have built up a life and give it away to those who have built up nothing. And by the way, skimming a little bit off the top. So you agree with me on the Pope becoming too political. Thank you for that call. Line 3. Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
This is line 3?
Yeah, you're on. It's you.
Thank you. Gary in Hazel Park, WJR. My subject is climate.
Oh, good. Wait, you're listening in Detroit, Hazel Park, Michigan, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. The great WJR, what's on your mind?
Well, there's dead ancient trees on the peaks of the Rocky Mountains. They are far and above the tree line of the current age. Those trees had to get there somehow. They're up in the oxygen. There's no air up there, so there's no bugs, no diseases to kill them. I'm sorry, to corrode them. They're dead. They've been dead for hundreds of years. How'd they get there if there wasn't fluctuation in the planet's global temperature and, you know, the
All right, so that's another bit of evidence that Al Gore never wanted to read. It's an inconvenient truth that he refuses to look at, as the Pope obviously has no knowledge of science whatsoever.
Right.
But there are many, look, there are, I make it simpler than that. We can give you different data facts. I've given you one, the ice core drilling. The most basic one, which even a child in the fifth grade can understand, is that the Earth had at least 6 ice ages. I learned that in public school, in PS, whatever, 48 in the Bronx, when I was 10 years old. And the ice ages disappeared long before man was emitting any kind of pollutants or carbon dioxide. How did the ice ages disappear? Through fluctuations in the temperature on the Earth. Natural fluctuations. But now we have a combination of a perfect storm. An idiotic population, a media that's complicit in the big lie, and a complete and total lack of understanding of science. Now along come demagogues like Obama and Al Gore and the UN, and now you have the perfect storm ready to explode on the planet, and I thank you for that call. It's now about 20 minutes to the hour, a little bit earlier than that. That opens one line at 855-400-7282. Let's go to the next caller, please. Line number six, name, city, and topic, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. This is Curtis from Fredericksburg, Virginia, calling off of 1230 WFVA AM.
Yeah, you know what I love is the people know the station they're listening to. That's amazing.
Well, first I want to thank you before my comment. Pointing out the atrocities that President Lincoln committed during the Civil War. It's a little bit of unknown history, but in your most recent book, you pointed them
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I talk about that. Why do guys like O'Reilly glorify Lincoln? Why? Why did, you know, it's one thing to say, he helped free the slaves. I get it. Give him credit for that. But he was a dictator and a monster. Why are they brushing that aside?
It's just all part of lionizing him. I don't really know why.
But why does O'Reilly continue the big lie about Lincoln being a saint? Has he ever talked about the damage he's done to cities? How about the burning of Atlanta? Did O'Reilly ever read about that?
That and everyone's going to sing the same too, whether it be all the other part of the cartel, the conservative talk radio or Fox News. It doesn't matter. They all sing from the saying.
I don't understand it. Why did they have to say Lincoln was a saint when the facts don't support that? Why? Why must he be turned into a saint?
I have no idea. But my comment was going to be about the Pope, but the previous caller kind of stole my thunder. I was kind of in the same agreement with him as this collectivist Pope. I think is going to make a move in the future to water down pretty much every religion, including his own, and in a way to attempt to merge them all into one.
One world religion, a nice world religion without a real God.
But,
and the God of the new religion will be a man, not God.
Right. And that was...
We already have the demigods lined up for the position of the super demigod. We already have them lined up. No, I'm glad you mentioned the Lincoln in my book. Did you actually read Stop the Coming Civil War and see the facts which speak for themselves?
Well, let me tell you, I read it within the first 2 days it was out. I was one of the people who bought it the first day it came out. And when I read a book, I read with a highlighter just to highlight some important, factoids or points or whatever it may be. And usually a highlighter lasts me about two or three books. But with your book, I went through about two almost, I think I got on my third highlighter before I was done.
Well, it's factual. And I don't know why people have to change the history of Lincoln. I guess it's because I proved that he was not a saint, that they had to attack my statement that he was not a saint, yet the facts are true. The facts speak for themselves. What do you say about a man who had his general burn Atlanta to the ground?
Well, you're talking about a president who declared war in his own country and is responsible for upwards of 600,000.
So why do fake conservatives in the media continue to turn him into a saint? Tell me what's in it for them. Why? Because I said the truth, therefore they have to now support Lincoln?
He's a Republican, one of the first Republican.
Oh, it's like Ronald Reagan is suddenly turned into a god. I get it.
So
in other words, it's a party thing. Because Lincoln was a Republican, therefore he was perfect?
It's all about loyalty to the party and not deviating from party line.
Well, I don't know how people don't see through the people who talk like that. I don't understand it. I'll never understand how people are that gullible if they can't see what you just explained to me. I never understood it. I mean, I didn't make up the facts about Lincoln. They speak for themselves. He did a lot of terrible things. Not only burning the city of Atlanta to the ground, but read about Sherman's March. Does the average person know that?
No, the average person doesn't. The average person couldn't tell you who fought in the Civil War, let alone who Sherman was.
Well, we're going through another minor Civil War in America with Obama and Holder and Sharpton. And the left-wing establishment turning the masses of people on the bottom against the middle class. Make no mistake about it, the police are the middle class. They're not the rich. And the police come from the middle class. And the police are the targets of this new movement. I thank you for that call. I got to preserve my voice for the new year. I feel a sore throat coming on. It's so cold out here. You won't believe it. I mean, I love it. I'm not complaining. But, I mean, I'm feeling it this year. Oh, unbelievable. I mean, maybe I shouldn't sleep with a window open. I got to change my ways. It was so cold last night here in the Bay Area. I mean, for us, cold, not for a person who lives in Siberia or Russia. It's a summer to them. But for us yellow bellies who live in the Bay Area, anything below 65 is like, it's like cold. It really got cold last night. It dropped into the 40s. I mean, we have had snow on the peaks down here. Mount Tam has had snow. I remember when the kid 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever it was, Mount Diablo in the East Bay gets snow on it, gets dusted. And to me, I don't know, it gets cold at night, 49, 39. I'm near the water, and it gets colder because of the wind chill factor. It was like it went from being, the bay looked like an inland sea over the last few days with the heavy winds coming out of the northwest. Normally, if we get a storm, it's a southeasterly, right? A southeaster, a nor'easter. Well, we got a nor'easter now, which is very unusual for the Bay Area. It came right out of the north. If you look towards Vallejo in the San Francisco area on the map, coming out from the Richmond Bridge area, blowing right up against the Tiburon Peninsula and into San Francisco, very strong winds. Normally, they come from the exact opposite side. So the waves were like 1-3s, 1-2s, white caps. Very dramatic looking. I mean, I buy nautical paintings and marine art. And it looked like many pictures I've seen of many seas that are churned up. It was actually quite dramatic. But it got cold. It was noisy. So I had to go to the other side of the house in the middle of the night to sleep from the bay side to the other side, right? I hadn't slept in the other side of that house in 5 years. The mattress was like a morgue. It was like a tomb. I felt as though I was laying down inside a mausoleum. It was so nightmarishly cold. I never laid down on a mattress at 3 in the morning that's ice cold. Even the dog was shuddering. Even he, who is very, very poodle-like. He's a little guy, but he has all the attributes. Condensed poodle. Normally, you know how they're aloof? Poodles are very aloof. They don't want to show that they need you too much. Even he snuggled against me. I felt like a homeless person snuggled up with a blanket with a dog snuggling against me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I want to close this hour by telling you about Abraham Lincoln's acts of inhumanity towards the American people for a number of reasons. The main one being that he's being turned into something he wasn't, not only by the left, but strangely enough by fraudulent prophets who claim that he was a saint, because for reasons I'll never understand, the facts are the facts. Under the rights he granted himself in the 1862 proclamation, Lincoln violated American civil rights with impunity. He is estimated to have arrested and imprisoned some 20,000 civilians and detained them without trials. This can be found in Stop the Coming Civil War. And one of the reasons I wrote about Lincoln in that book is because Obama has used Lincoln as a mentor. Be very careful if Lincoln is one of his mentors, because Lincoln used the U.S. military against his own people. You may not know this, but after the city of Atlanta surrendered, residents watched helplessly. More than 4,000 buildings were destroyed. Fewer than 10% of Atlanta's buildings escaped the inferno. And as Northern troops marched across the state of Georgia, they created a path of destruction over 40 miles wide, pillaging and burning buildings and destroying railroads. This is in our own country by Abraham Lincoln. But you may not know about the other things that he did. For example, rerouting telegraph wires through the White House so that he could monitor stories that the Associated Press wanted to publish, and dictating to the Associated Press what was acceptable to him and what was not acceptable. Is the Associated Press any different today? Tell me. Is Jake Tapper any different today? He may as well live inside Obama's head like a little parrot on his cerebellum. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Downbeat for hour number three on the Savage Nation. And as the third hour begins, I'm awaiting delivery of Chinese food. I thought I could get away without lunch today. I ate a huge breakfast, and I'm starving to death. And I noticed a story from the New York Post, which I linked on michaelsavage.com, about FDA busts Chinese food supplier for rat-infested warehouse. I said, oh, God. And the lead line is funny. It says, is that bean curd or bean turd in your Chinese takeout? And it's about the disregard of sanitary codes in New York from this Brooklyn-based food supplier to Chinese restaurants. Rodent carcasses, feces, and urine were found in a warehouse. I said, great. So I got two Chinese meals on the way. Now, I've been eating Chinese food forever, as most of us have. And we can't draw generalized conclusions about bean turd from this article. But I'm a little worried about a rodent's nest in a box of thawing meat, dead rodents, rodent feces in food cartons, rodent feces and urine in bags of MSG, birds flying in the warehouse, and smoking food smoking food handler. That has a nice ring to it. Smoking food handler over rice sounds like a good dish. Can I have once beaten food handler over rice? The company which distributes to eateries across the East and Midwest, watch out if you're from flyover country, also allegedly failed to use rodenticides to prevent contamination, to remove pest-attracting litter, among other violations. The FDA wrote that in the dry storage area, what appeared to be rodent excreta was observed on pallets of stored food products near the entrance, which led a path to a hole inside a bag of flour, which appeared to be a rodent gnaw hole. A rodent gnaw hole in a bag of flour. All right, what can I tell you? There's nothing new under the sun. Believe me, this is not limited to Chinese food suppliers. That's all I can tell you. If you think that because you're eating in a five-star restaurant, the food quality is better, I got some more news coming for you. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, food sanitation is not what you would hope it to be. It's the truth of the matter. And the answer is what? Take your chances and eat at home if you want. I'm not going to sit home every night and make spaghetti and meatballs, although I did it the other night. It was the best meal I had in years. Everywhere I go, I notice restaurants are cutting back on portions and quality, incidentally. What is that about? What are they trying to they think we're stupid? They think we're all from Fresno on a tour bus? I mean, I used to go to a certain place I go to. Used to give me three pieces of Petrolli sole. That's our West Coast equivalent of just sole. We call it Petrolli. I like the fish. It's a white fish. I'm getting two pieces now. And instead of a plate of vegetable steamed, I'm getting like a little piece of vegetable with a $3 surcharge. What is going on? Do they think I don't notice it? It's not that I can't afford the $3. It's not that I need the third piece of fish. I don't like being ripped off anywhere, okay? Especially in places I've eaten in for 43 years. So I don't know about you, but food quality and food quantity is certainly changing, and I can't blame Obama for that. Or can I? Is there any way I can tie it to Obama? Can I tie it to the Democrats somehow? Can I tie it to socialism? Can I tie rat crap, bean turd to the Obama administration? No, I don't think so. I hope he's getting better Chinese food in Hawaii than I'm going to get here. Oh, it just arrived. The door closed. Ryan, is it here? Are you sure it's heated up rat turd? I mean, I want to make sure it's warm at least. I mean, bean turd. I'm sorry. Whatever it is coming in. I can't wait to eat it. Because I'll feel better no matter what it is, because I am starving right now. I'm getting faint in the third hour. So we continue. In my first hour, I talked about Lenin's Pope, because it seems to me that he's become a politician rather than a pope. And as such, he's now subject to criticism that all politicians are subject to. That's number one. The Pope knows nothing about global warming. It's a ripoff of the middle class taxpayers around the world. And I resent it, especially since the science does not support the big lie. We then talked about Obama reaching out to Cuba and getting nothing in return except a crackdown on the few dissidents that exist in Cuba. That's a horrible story. And then we talked about vaccinations from the callers, what I thought of them. And I told you I have misgivings about the number of vaccinations given to our children today. And the reason that we have so many new diseases or old diseases reemerging is because of the influx of illegal aliens into this country who have brought diseases in and not been vaccinated to begin with, which is a truth. It's as much truth to that as there is to the fact that Lincoln was a dictator as well as a great man. Lincoln was both a great man and a dictator. And he did burn Atlanta to the ground. And he did route the telegraph wires from the Associated Press through his White House to, in order to monitor which stories he wanted printed and which he didn't want printed, very much like you see today with the major media. They don't have their wires running through the White House, but they certainly have their access running through the White House. How else do you think a lowlife like Jake Tapper gets access to the president? By making certain that all the stories that are fit to print for Obama are certainly broadcast on CNN, and anything that's critical is not broadcast. It's that simple. Now, you may ask, why am I picking on certain journalists and not others? The answer is because they attacked me, and I'm not going to give up until I continue attacking them, and I'm satisfied with my counterattacks. You know, I never forget my friends. Let me tell you that. You ask anyone who knows me, I go out of my way to help anyone I can who is my friend. And I don't have many friends, but I have people I know, and I will do anything I can to help them in any way I can. But I also don't forget people who've tried to rip me apart. I never, ever, ever forget people who've done that to me. Never. It's just my nature. Although I'm not Irish, the adage of the Irishman with Alzheimer's applies to me, which is a fun joke for Irish people. Even they like it because they have a sense of humor. So I say to my Irish friends after a few drinks, what is it that an Irishman with Alzheimer's, what is the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? And they say, I don't know, I say his enemies. But it applies to Italians. It applies to Jews that I know as well. The truth is, my mother, may she rest in peace, never forgot insults from 50 years before. It's just the way people are. They never, ever forget insults. So that's why I do it. This is the Savage Nation. I'm still a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. We now go to our callers. Line 7, name, city, and topic, please. Go ahead.
My name is Jeff. I'm currently driving through Sacramento, and I'm listening to you on the Internet. And my topic is...
Wait, how do you listen to me on the Internet in a car? How does that work?
Well, I patch my cell phone through my stereo system, essentially. And
isn't that amazing? I don't even know how to do that. But it's amazing. So you don't even have to be tied to KSFO to hear me in Sacramento. I love it. So what's your topic?
KSFO. My topic is comes to religion. You have great insights on religion, and it's one of the few times I can actually offer you an insight on it. It has to do with the people that are non-religious. And I think when you were talking about, when they brought up the one world religion, I think the new one world religion is essentially basically non-religion. But the god of this religion is the Internet itself. You can ask, it's all-knowing. You can ask it questions. And you can even pray to it. The prayer would be the hashtag.
That's funny. Yeah, well, I've talked about the people walking around with iPhones staring at them, crashing into telephone poles because their eyes are focused on their icon in their hand. What are they looking at? It's the Holy Grail. They think it has all the answers to life is in their palm, right?
Well, not just that. It confirms what you believe. Whether or not it's actual fact, you can go to, you know, imright.com, and you can find whatever you want, substantial, whatever wacko view that you have.
Absolutely. So, in other words, there are no standards of truth anymore, is what you're getting at, because any fool can post anything he wants on the Internet and pretend that it's the truth.
Exactly. It comes to a cult of...
So that's an interesting point. Given that what you said is true, which is that any moron can post anything he wants on the Internet and try to make it the truth, even if it's the biggest lie on earth or the biggest falsehood on earth. Why do you think I have such a large audience? People could say, well, he's just a guy with an opinion. Why listen to him? Why do they listen to me?
They listen to you because it's not all one thing. We get politics.
I also base my statements upon very, very careful thought, and I can back it up with facts and logic. Logic seems to have gone out of the school system. The ability to reason has gone out of the school system. It's all groupthink.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening. You're a moving target. That leaves us time for one more call in this segment. Line 2, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, this is Donna from Manahawkin. I'm listening to WABC.
Where is Manahawkin?
Yes, we're long-time listeners.
No, but ma'am, where is Manahawkin? I'm sorry, I really don't know. I'm not being sarcastic.
New Jersey.
Oh, named for an Indian tribe, obviously.
Yes.
I would have thought if it was an Indian tribe, it would have been called the Soprano tribe.
Originally from Kentucky, so I really don't own New Jersey.
New Jersey's a beautiful state. People don't realize how gorgeous that state really is, and some of the countryside is amongst the most beautiful in the nation. What's on your mind?
Okay, this has been bothering me for a long time, and I couldn't get through to you, you know, before now. when you had the open, you know, ideas. You know, we listen to global warming and climate change. While the EPA controls us on everything in our life, everything. But if you look up in the sky, and I don't know if you see it in San Francisco, but it's terrible here. The chemtrails, I don't know if we don't get you for 3 hours, so you may talk about this in your third hour.
Oh, no, I'm not one of those conspiracy nuts. Why are you concerned about the chemtrails? I don't understand it. Do you actually think that the governments are spraying us with some pesticide?
They are. They're spraying us with toxic heavy metals and all.
Oh, come on. That's absolutely not true. Absolutely.
No?
That is a total myth. Of the complete insane right wing. I'm sorry. That is crazy right wing conspiracy talk. And I'll have nothing to do with it. Because once you start buying into that, it's the end of the world. That's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Anyway, Johnny and Joe. One of them was a woman, by the way. Johnny was a woman whose father owned the record company. Where am I? I don't even know where I am. 223. It's fortune cookie. I just had the Chinese meal. Man, that bean turd was good. I got to tell you, wow. I have no idea what they put in it, nor do I care. I need some food. And I don't like soy. Soy produces a lot of reactions I don't like, but it's, when you're hungry, it tastes really good with mixed noodles. So I got a fortune cookie. You're not going to believe this. Are you ready for this? I'm opening it on the air. That's the actual sanitary package to make sure the rat turd stays warm. And the... remember I said to you I've reinvented the show? It's the same me, the same viewpoints, blah, blah, blah. But I'm doing unprotected talk, and I'm going to try it for 3 months and see what happens with my audience numbers. I'm going to do it for a full 3 months. I swear as God is my witness, may just take it for what it is. I may post this fortune. I swear to you, it's in the fortune cookie. It says, remember 3 months from this date, good things are in store for you. How is that possible? How is that possible? That's my birthday on top of it all. March 31st, 2015. Remember 3 months from this day, good things are in store for you. That's amazing. So you say, who believes fortune cookies? They're machine made. They're as valid as anything. Some of them are funny. It's like a horoscope, right? I don't know. I'm thinking of doing something big for my birthday. Remember last year I meant to, I didn't get around to it because it was a new show. I didn't have the time. I was focused only on the Daily Show. I should do a major event. I should do an East Coast, a Midwest, and a West Coast, but I don't think I will. I always say I'm going to do it. Then I don't know. It's so much work, you have no idea. The last big event I did, I had 7,000 people at the Concord Pavilion, now known as the Chronicle Pavilion. Many people remember it. It was when Teddy was a puppy, which is 10 years ago. Would you believe this? A lot of guys in my business do weekly tours. I don't know how they manage it. God bless them. And they do it for the gelt. They're always grubbing for a few bucks. Okay, whatever. They need more money. What do they need it for? What are they going to do with it? Buy another Lexus? I have no idea. But the thing is, I enjoy the live performance up to a point, but I tend to give too much. That's my problem. I need a stage director. I did three acts. I should have done one. My opening act was I drove out in the red Cadillac, which I've sold since. And I got out, and I was dressed in a cowboy hat, and I got on the... I had a stage... A guy on the stage who acted like a homeless guy with a cart, who blocked the car... And I honked the horn, I got out, and I said, hey, bum, get out of the way. And I got out, and I said, well, look, since I'm not moving, let me read the news to you. And I did. I read the newspapers. The crowd was really responsive. They loved it. The act one was good. My problem was is I drank on stage. And people warned me not to drink on stage. But as an old-time performer, I drank on stage. And I wasn't drinking wine. I was drinking straight vodka. I was. So act one was cogent and good. Act two, the curtain dropped. I came back out. I think act two, I was sitting in a red bathrobe, a velour bathrobe, with a television hooked up to the actual internet, and I was watching the news with a clicker and commenting to 7,000 people as you would watch news. I would click around and start cursing the news, scream at the news, comment on the news, ignore the news, and flash to the channels. That was a good act. But at that point, the C2H5OH had started to take hold on my brain, and I got through Act 2. By Act 3, they should have dropped the curtain and said goodnight, but I went into Act 3. Now, a lot of people liked Act 3, but a lot of people left when Act 3 started because I started to get a little off the beam, so to speak. And I said, look, it was a family show in Act 1 and a family show in part in Act 2. Act 3 is for the other crowd here. You have to go home early and put your jammies on, I understand, but I'm going to just let it all hang out. I didn't make an idiot of myself, but it wasn't as good as Act 1. It's actually all in a CD, which if you buy one, you get 12 free. No, I'm joking. I'm not. How does that clothing store? How do they do it? And special only for New Year's Day. Buy one suit, get 12 free. And if you do that on New Year's Day, we throw in the salesman's wife. How do they give this away? Where do they make clothing like that? Buy one shirt, get 3 suits free? I wouldn't wear. Ryan, you were in the clothing business. Where do they make those suits? I spoke to a clothing store guy. I said, how do they do that? How do they sell a suit and give you 3 suits for free? I never heard of anything like that. And I think they advertise at my station. I better shut up and be very careful. Yeah, it's a big sale. Maybe I'll go over there and buy one shirt and get 4 free and get a tube of Benadryl for free for a swelling I have on my toe. How can an insect bite me in the cold? Are there insects? Do they live in the cold? I don't know. More unprotected talk when I return right after the tofu right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, welcome back to Unprotected Talk on the Savage Nation. I am refueled and ready to go. Ready to jump from 30,000 feet into the abyss on the Savage Nation on a daily basis. Do we have any of those great benchmark clips from the best of, like, I have stuff I want to play for you, like, When Pasta Was Spaghetti poem, we have that? Do we have the Savage Jazz poem from Eisenhower to Obama in 2 generations? I love that one. Probably don't have it. About 1984, I was flying, not with my wings, I'm not Icarus, I was in an airplane, and so I was flying in an airplane. Somewhere over Denver, we hit a lightning storm. It was a 737. In those days, this was pre 9/11. The stewardesses were a lot freer. And there were passengers like me who would drink during lightning storms. So they wouldn't shut down the bar. They would open the bar. So people were cowering and crying. I'm not a particularly brave guy, but I tend to get brave when things get very bad. Something happens in me, I tend to get more bold. Let's put it that way. Maybe it's an overcompensation. Who knows? So I said to the stewardess as the plane started to buck, I said, give me 2 more of these, whatever it was, probably vodka. So bring me the bottle. So she brought me the bottles, and I kept drinking during the thing. It was really bucking pretty violently. And I started to write a poem. And I think I wrote When Pasta Was Spaghetti in the Air. I'm pretty sure I wrote that. But next to me was a Chinese lady, a really elegant Chinese lady, who was crying. She got frightened. Now, she wouldn't talk to me for the first hour of the flight out of San Francisco. I tried to say hello. I wasn't trying to pick her up. I was just saying hello. You know, you're going to be in an airplane for hours. I just said hello. And she, you know, froze me out. I figured, all right, that's her prerogative. Just because, you know, chance put us together doesn't mean I have to talk to her. She has to talk to me. I got it. She's not, I'm not required. All right, she didn't want to talk. So I went into my own world. Well, when the plane started to buck and I started to drink and write, she reached out and grabbed my forearm. She was frightened. And we started to talk. And it turns out she was the CEO of one of America's largest corporations. And to top it off, as she found out what I was doing at that time, she told me her grandfather was one of China's most famous herbal healers, which was an amazing story unto itself, how things work out. But I wrote a poem, which I read in an Italian club here in that time, When Pasta Was Spaghetti. Let's listen to it and see if it still has wings on the Savage Nation. The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's clam bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then. In neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged over window on a cold winter's eve, there was life. Marinara sauce that smacked of the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smile scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Not bad. It still holds up. That's a good one. That goes into the Savage Radio Hall of Fame. Now, there's another one. I think, do we have the clip there, jazz poem from Eisenhower to Obama in Two Generations? Yes? Looking for it, so we don't have it, in other words. The answer is no. Do we have Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture? Do we have the Philip Morris call? Do we have the Joe and Paul radio? What do we have, Philip Morris? Okay, let me hear the Overture. We'll go with the bad one first. All right. Now, that was Tchaikovsky. Did the best he could. He wasn't a rap artist. He tried his best as an old white male to create music. Of course, it's not as good as the music that we have today, Well, I needn't say any more. It's just not up to the standards of a rap song. So that's the best the old white male could do. But now that we have fairness and equality in the music business, you can see the quality of music has improved greatly since Tchaikovsky. On that sarcastic note, we go to the callers in Unprotected Talkville. Line two, welcome to the program. Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please.
Chris, the epicenter of the Savage Nation, KSFO.
Oh,
Tracy, California.
Yes, we are at the epicenter of the Savage Nation and emanates from here.
That is correct. And all I got to say about your poem is molto bono, my friend, molto bono. Okay, so you say that the Pope is thrown in this global warming thing. Leads me to ask this question of the Savage Nation. Does this mean that the ritual of choosing a pope will no longer have white or black smoke?
I understand what you mean, because that would be kind of unfair, wouldn't it?
Kind of adding to the pulpitician's global footprint.
That's right. The smoke that comes out of the chimney to say that a new pope has arrived is white smoke, isn't it?
So I wonder if it'll be a black flag and a white flag now. I leave that to the Savage Nation to debate. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we know that he's become a politician, which is not good for the world. And it's certainly not good for Catholicism. And it's certainly not good for religion. That's all I can say. It's one man's opinion. Again, I'm not attacking Catholicism. I'm not attacking Catholics. I'm not attacking the church. I am saying that the Pope has become a man and a politician rather than a religious icon, in my opinion. And by the way, I would say the same thing about rabbis who've suddenly become political. We certainly say our fair share of negative things about radical imams, don't we? So why should the Pope be above criticism when they become political? Okay. Line one, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Dominic. I'm calling from WABC, Long Island, New York. And I want to say the Pope, I believe, is the leader of a 50-year plan, and the crusade is coming up from the south. Lanigan's Aunts, they made a movie about it. And
wait, I missed something. He's part of a 50-year plan to accomplish what?
Well, it's just another crusade. The Roman Empire has been the Catholic Roman Empire, you could call it.
But why would he lead the crusade on building on lies? I mean, what kind of crusade is that to start with a lie about global warming?
Well, I wasn't being specific about global warming, but maybe that's just a detour, just to cover up.
So it's a crusade against whom?
Against us. They're coming up from the south. Lanigan's Ants, the book, is the ants traveled up from South America, and we should build a wall on the border. It's the only solution, I think.
God, it's awful. I hope you're wrong. You know, the more I see what's going on, though, the more I think that the elections are a fraud? How did they let us go to the polls, though? In other words, if I say elections are a fraud, how did they let us win during the last election? What was that, to make us think there's an election? See, you can take a conspiracy any way you want. Say, okay, all elections are predetermined because they count the votes electronically now, and a country from Spain controls the counting, blah, blah, blah. So how is it the Republicans took control of the Senate and the House in such a vast earthquake when we had our election in November? Say, well, okay, you can argue and say they let it happen to let us think that there's actually an election. Because the rest of the conspiracy theory would contain the argument that since Boehner will not change course, and he's fundamentally the same as Obama in his policies, I mean, he's not fighting illegal immigration, I can guarantee you as I stand here the Republicans are going to go along with any global warming missives of the president. I can guarantee it. And it'll be under Boehner, because Boehner is the false one. We know that. We've been seeing that for a long time. But he's truly, truly become an obnoxious character now, in that he's basically purging the party of all conservatives. Very much along the lines of what was done in communist regimes. For example, in the early days of the communist revolution, shortly after they won, they purged the party of, let us say, more extreme party apparatchiks. They chased them out of the party and arrested them. This happens after every revolution. So the Republicans have gone through a revolution to the detriment of the Republican Party. They're going in the wrong direction. Which poem do you have now? Oh, we have the good one. Eisenhower to Obama. Let's listen to this one. I think that I'm the elder statesman of conservative talk radio. I actually didn't believe it, but I've reached that point. I'm giving myself a title. I know that I'm a national phenomenon in many ways, but I am the elder statesman. Most of the guys are 20 years younger than me, which is fine. And some of them are good, but most of them don't even understand what this country has come from. They kind of read about it, but as much as I hate to admit it in a way, I've lived through it. From Eisenhower to Obama in two generations. From Ben Casey to Nurse Jackie in two generations. From mutual assured destruction to assured national destruction, two generations. From Evan Rude to Always Rude in two generations. From John Wayne to Lady Gaga in two generations. From I Spy to I Cry in two generations. From I Love Lucy to I Love Loosely in two generations. From Al Einstein to Al Gore in two generations. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme in two generations. From Catcher in the Rye to Ketchup on the Fly in two generations. Starlets to Harlots. Preachers to breachers, athletes to sexleets, rabbis to sandflies, Boy Scouts to Toy Scouts, Girl Scouts to Twirl Scouts, from the Eagle to the Beagle in two generations, from LSD to ADD, from Cardigans to Partykins, from Cub Scouts to Scouting Cubs, from Aspirin to OxyContin, from Lady Jane to Let's Get Insane, from science to lie-ince. From law to claw. From zip guns to machine guns. From Manhattans to cosmos. From red book to spread books. From acorn the tree to acorn the spree. From babies to puppies. From guppies to yuppies. From private vets to private jets. From soldiers who kill to soldiers without will. From lassie to sassy. From religion to pigeons, from eons to peons, from rapists to offenders, from stickball to speedballs, from Gallo to Lafitte, from Matus to Chartreuse, from Milltown to Prozac, from the Air Force to a Bear Force, from the Navy to Loose Gravy, from the Army to I'm Swami, from Israel to Fizreal, from Taiwan to Spizwan, from the dragon and the eagle to the dragon and the beagle. From dragsters to drag queens. From redwoods to deadwoods. From health foods to wealth foods. From heroes to zeros. From UFOs to IOUs. Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, as the year comes to an end, I have 2 minutes left to close out the year. There's so many things I'd like to say. The number one thing is I can't believe I survived another year in radio, and I thought it was over. It just began. That's the amazing thing to remember, is that it's not over till it's over. Let me tell you that. And I've bounced back from defeat many times in my life. I'm sure I'll have many other challenges before I leave this earth. And no matter how down you are, you've got to keep planning as though you're going to come back from that. That's all I can tell you. Just keep making the plans, keep dreaming, keep creating, and keep working towards your goals. Eventually, it will happen. That's all I can say to you. It just happens. And last night, as I was lying in bed and listening to the storm pound against the house here on the West Coast, I contemplated the years I spent in these remote islands all alone, Tonga, Fiji, some of the most remote islands on the planet. And I would spend nights in villages, in straw houses with Fijian men or Tongan men, mainly Fijian men. And the isolation that I felt was something I've never felt in my life since. They were beautiful people. They were very welcoming, but they were alien to me. They spoke a different language whose roots I didn't even understand. And although they tried to make me feel at home, I felt this lonely planet more than I've ever felt before and ever felt since. And I've since ceased going to islands. I don't like islands. The islands remind us of the lonely planet that we're on. The islands remind me of the lonely selves that we are. And it's only in civilized areas that I actually feel a sense of stability and calmness, truthfully. It's why I like cities. I love San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. Any large city greatly appeals to me because it's man's striving to create civilization. And that's the challenge for 2015. At the same time we here in America build civilization, we have a dark force on the planet trying to tear down everything that the world has built over the last 1,000 years. It's a battle and a clash that will not be forgotten, and we're only one event away from being reminded of it again. Within our own country, we have those elements that would like to tear everything down. They are no different than the ISIS terrorists. Although some of them may have access to the White House, they're no different than the ISIS terrorists in their goals. On that fine note, I bid you adieu for 2014. I thank you very much for being my loyal audience, and I look forward to unprotected talk in 2015 on the Savage Nation.